This audio recording is brought to you by caseygolan.com.au. Hi there, and thanks for listening. This is Casey Golan, and this is part three of four parts of an interview that I did with my client, Eddie McElhaney from Big Commerce. So let's start part three now. I want to talk to you about the VC on two levels, Ed. Number one, I want to talk about the level of talent and vision that they bring to you. Because you guys are living the dream. You started in your bedroom, you went to your mate's office who leased it to you for free, and you've got this business on track for 15 mil right now. What vision have they, you're living the dream. A lot of people out there go, a lot of silly people would go, oh gosh, you got your business to 10 mil, why don't you just sell it, why don't you just lie on the beach, and what talent they've brought to you to help you stretch your dream. And then question number two, before I forget, whilst I remember, is the ability for that venture capital for you to draw in top talent. Let's go through those two points. So I'm going to talk about the living the dream and now then stretching you and your vision to move it forward, and then the type of talent you're able to attract because of this VC. So let's go with point number one first.
Yeah, so similar to working with you, a lot of what the VC does is, again, give us a lot of tools and change our belief systems of what's possible. So by working with the VC, one, they've introduced us to a ton of people. So I've met with a legendary CFO in Boston who, he's helped a ton of startups. So I can work with him until we've hired our CFO. We've met with top-level recruiters who can help us find the executive-level leadership that we need, but have also given us an insight as, they look at our numbers on a monthly basis, and we talk about our strategy and what we're doing. They've done some due diligence on our competitive landscape, looking at the weaknesses in our product or in our infrastructure and how we can address them. So we've tackled that. So they give us an outside perspective of the business. So once you're really deep in, they give you kind of this third party, completely unbiased, whether it's critical or it's pessimistic or optimistic, they're just going to give you that it is what it is, and then you can go and tackle these issues. That's a lot what they've given us, and also the networking ability, the ability that some of the people that I've met with has really expanded our reality of what is possible. Before, when we were in that mindset of, hey, let's just try and get this business to 10 million in revenue and see what happens there, now we're in that mindset, well, we can take this to another level. We can be a global company. We can be a household brand name, and that helps you expand your reality of what's possible. And when you sit in a room and talking to people at that level who've been there and done it before, and you're able to communicate at the same level, if not more, at a more strategic level, you really start believing that, hey, we can do this. This is possible. I have the skills and the knowledge and the strategic ability to take the company where we want it to go.
Yeah. Interesting. I can always remember, I don't know whether you guys remember that, but I just said to you guys, you got something very, very special here that's for an opportunity to absolutely, to change the world in some small way,
right.
by affecting the small clients that you work with and giving them unbelievable tools to do extraordinary things on the internet. And the ability for you guys to do that, from starting from where you did to now, the vision that you've got, to be a world player in this market, it's not everyone has A, the talent, two, the vehicle, and three, the support to be able to do that. But if you can line those things up, some people will be listening to that and go, oh, I just don't want to grow my business that much. That's fine. You just grow it to where you want to grow it to. But some people have this entrepreneurial blood pumping through their veins, and they've got this vehicle where they can absolutely take this to where you become a household name, basically. Everyone's different, but this is the opportunity you guys have got. And what's good for me is that, you both have an insatiable appetite to learn, but also to execute. And that's kind of you can hear when you speak, it's like, wow, let's go, rah rah, 100 miles an hour. So tell me about that, because you've got into this room where these VC guys have put all this talented people that have done it before in the room with you, and you guys are good note takers, good learners, and then good executors. Some of the things that you've learned and the speed of learning that you've been put in, that you've had access to, how's that changed your mindset?
Mate, incredibly. So Mitch and I, I think one of our biggest strengths and our capability is to be able to learn, is to shut up and listen. Just let people talk, you know, let them tell you what they've done, ask a ton of questions, take a lot of notes, be respectful of people's time, because you'd be surprised at how much people will share, how much information people will share, just because people like to teach, you know. People like to impart the knowledge that they've learned because other people have taught them. And a lot of the time, some of the mistakes I see from some small business owners when they're getting advice is they do a lot more talking than listening. And they feel like, you know, that this is probably degrading them in some way, or that they're not that smart, or it makes them feel insignificant, or makes them feel unintelligent, you know, whatever it may be. For us, it's, you've got to learn. You know, we don't know, we only know such a small amount. No matter what we've accomplished, we're never going to know enough. And just listen and ask people a ton of questions and let them share with you their success and what they've done, and be willing to have an open mind, be willing never to take anything personally, and just to listen and try things out, test things and see if they work. If they work, well, you run with it. If they don't, move on.
So for those guys that are in the business, they're going, how can I get out of this? How can I get out of the day-to-day to be able to get to the point where you can learn more? What's your advice to them?
Yeah, some of the things that we worked on, Case, was just building really good systems. So hiring the right people, you know, having the right people in the company is above and beyond the number one thing you can always do to grow your business and to run a successful business. Having the right people who are motivated, who love doing what they're doing, who are right for the business, who work with you, that's a really, really key part. And having the systems and the KPIs and the plans for them to know that they're succeeding, being able to do that. Like Mitch and I don't spend as much time as we probably should in the US. We're doing a lot more of that now, but the office there just runs very smoothly without us. We have three very good managers and a team there, and I have a weekly call with each one of them on Skype or a conference line or, you know, conference video. Yeah. But I don't need to be there in person. I don't need to be talking to the support department. I don't need to be speaking to our sales team because of the systems and the processes we've built and the hiring plan that we've got in place.
And the talent they've got. So when you say right people, basically for me, right people, someone's got the talent, they've got the motivation, and they just get their task done.
Right. You know, smart and gets things done.
Just smart and gets things done. You know, that's what you want. So all those people out there, you know, how do I get the right people? You've got to get someone that's smart, competent, and gets things done, so you don't have to hold their hand all the time. And then for you as a leader, you've got to have the visibility for them. They've got to know, these people want to know that they're working for something. They want to have some sort of target, some sort of visibility, and some sort of accountability so they can get the best out of themselves, because the right people want to get the best out of themselves. They want to work. So By that very definition, the wrong people don't want to work. They won't do their role very properly. And even if they're smart, they're not going to follow through. So they can self-select themselves. And what you need to do as a business owner is recognize that and then take action to either train them up or trade them out and get someone in that will do that.
Yeah, and the thing is, A players, top people want to work with A players, and when you start bringing B and C players into the business and you make that mistake, it's going to drag everybody down. You'll lose your best people because they bring that down. So we have a philosophy of A players only. Mitch and I, even though we're going to have 100 people by the end of the year, we'll still do a final interview on every single person and make sure that culture is a big part of what we hire for. And, you know, Casey, you and I worked on ideals, setting ideals, We call them now success profiles. We've taken it kind of another step forward, really hiring based on those ideals and really trying to figure out if that person is a match for the role. Do they have the skills, but also do they have the motivation? Do they have the passion to do what they need to do?
I'm going to come back to that second question about the getting the right talent through the VC, but I want to ask you another question on that. How do you guys feel hiring super talented people? Is that kind of daunting for you? Because some of these people, my little mantra on getting people is hire people that are smarter than you at what they do.
Mm-hmm.
How do you find that? Is that intimidating? Because some people go, I don't want to hire someone that's smarter than me.
But I think it probably used to be in the sense that it wasn't more so that it was, you know, we were afraid of hiring that type of person, but more so as, you know, is this person really going to be attracted to our business? Is this top-level person who's worked at Google or worked at Microsoft, are they really going to be, you know, want to come and work for us as a business? Once we had that mental shift of, well, now, you know what, we have an opportunity to be one of these companies, and yeah, hell yeah, these people do want to come work for us. Shifting into that gear of finding the right people and the best people, mate, every business owner, I don't care who you are, if you're listening, if you have employees, you always have that one or two people that you know you can assign anything to that will just get done. They become your go-to guy or girl. If you don't have that person, you need to go out and find that person firstly. But when you do, you start to think to yourself, what if every single person in my company was like that? What if that superstar that I have, my CMO, my CFO, is that type of person where I can throw anything at them and they will get it done, they will fix the problem, and they'll take us to that next level? And once you start thinking about that, you really, really, it makes it really hard to hire the wrong people, because you're constantly aware of that, and you're also worried that you're bringing the wrong person to the business. So you focus very heavily on making sure it's the right person.
Yeah, great. So bringing back to this question, number two, so getting this VC, which is a 15 mil for you guys, how has that helped you in getting talent to your business?
Yeah, so we see marketing as not only marketing our products and services, but also marketing the company to attract talent. So what the VC has done, firstly, is enabled us to talk about the business through PR and have a newsworthy story to tell. You know, in Sydney, we've been featured in the Sydney Morning Herald. We're going to be in a couple of TV shows. Mitch, our co-founder, has been on the Sky Business Channel. We've been, you know, in some of the magazines. And that's not about our ego and Mitch and our ego. You know, it's not like we love to tell our story and, wow, look at who we are. It's more about attracting people to the business. And now we've got a newsworthy story to tell. So candidates can say, wow, this is a great business to come to. You know, it's a place that I want to be. And a lot of that's obviously got to do with the culture that we built. But we can't talk about our culture and our story without having something newsworthy.
Correct.
Also the credibility that it adds. When you're talking to top-level executives, people from, you know, your Googles of the world and, again, your Microsofts, et cetera, and your Apples, they want to know that they're coming to work for on a company that has an opportunity to be the leader in the space. And the venture capital firm adds that credibility.
Yep.
The VC firm, the particular board member that we have, Larry Bond, that's joined our team, not only does he provide a strong network of people that he's introducing us to, because he's just a phenomenally networked person, he also helps us sell the company. He helps us tell the story of, people want to know, hey, Larry, why did you invest in this business? Why did you put $15 million? Well, he can say, well, this is why. This is what the co-founders, this is the vision, this is the market opportunity. So he helps us actually close and hire these people, because believe it or not, top-level people are always in demand. There's other companies making offers left, right, and center. They're paying crazy, you know, giving tons of equity, giving crazy salaries, et cetera. We're competing with top talent now. We're competing for top talent with top companies. In order for us to do that, the venture capital firm adds that level of credibility and the personal touch, as well as the network.
Yeah, and those top talent people, they don't necessarily go towards the highest bidder, but they want to make a difference, you know?
Definitely not. They definitely don't go to the highest bidder. So we just hired our CMO, Jeremy, who we're incredibly excited about, and as well as our CFO, and both those candidates were made incredible offers from tons of other companies. They turned down collectively maybe 15 to 20 other offers. And the reason they did that is because I think, one, is they share a vision of where the company's going. They believe in the venture capital firm that invested in the company, the amount of capital they've invested. And us, we got along really well. They shared the vision. They shared the passion that we have for the business and for the space that we're in, but also the way of doing things, the approach, the, you know, the ethical component of the business, how we treat our people, how we treat our clients, etc. And they believed in that, they shared in that, and it helped us, you know, obviously hire those people.
The values mix, and it's also an opportunity. These guys they're achievers. When you start getting top talent, they want to come and achieve in your business, because then, like for example, like through your VC company and through Larry, they're going to get exposure if they want that, you know. So all of a sudden, if you've got a good vision, you've got a good mission, you've got a good culture in your business, and they can believe in it, you just start to get the talent. So for me, you know, when it's funny, Ed, you know, and I'm sure you probably, I don't know whether you guys thought this, but you kind of went for it pretty hard. But when I started talking about your ideals and you call it your success profile, but I was saying, okay, what's your idea? Where do you want to take this business? What's the vision you want to have out there? What's the mission we're going to do? What are the values we're going to have for the team?
Mate, I'll be honest, we've seen it in some of the other startups and some of the software companies. You know, companies like Google, they talk about their values and mission statement. Companies like Atlassian, another Sydney success story. So we've seen that being done, never really understood, you know, at a high level understood why and what they were doing, but never really got it, if that makes sense. Never really experienced what it feels like when somebody actually comes in and says, hey, I'm here because I believe in your core values, and that's what attracted me to your company. So working with you to actually put that together, we believed in it, and in all honesty, we just, because we'd worked with you for such a while, and Mitch and I were big believers in just listen, see what the advice is out there. Has it worked in the past for somebody else? Implement it, execute. Doesn't work, repeat it. And we've done that on a couple of things with you, and they were working. And so it was more of a, hey, let's just do what Casey says. Let's really understand it. Let's just execute and see what happens, yeah. And just continue that cycle.
Becomes the blood, really, for the business. People becomes the bait. If they can see what you stand for, and you've got exciting vision and there's values, these smart people are going to be attracted to value-based companies. And they're attracted to you, but then when they get on, that's when the big test is, does this business actually operate by the values that's reported on their website or in their collateral? So that's the second big test. And if you do, bang, you know, these talented people, they just go, yep, you advertise it, but you also walk the talk as well. And
yep.
This is where you can get someone that's attracted to you for an opportunity that can then stay for as a career, because it's home, you know.
Yep,
it's them as a person. For further information, please go to caseygollan.com.au. That's caseygollan.com.au for all your business coaching and business growth products and services.